Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Have you ever gotten this really creepy feeling, like the person you're closest to, the one you think you know insides out, turns out to be a total stranger?
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe, this super unsettling vibe that Lee Foley is going for in her thriller Tour Wives.
Oh, totally.
And by the way, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe so you don't miss out on any of our future deep dives.
Yes.
We've got the link to Tour Wives on Amazon down in the description if you want to check it out. But even if you haven't, read the book yet, stick with us. I think anyone can relate to some of the stuff we're going to be talking about, like fame and betrayal and just like the dark side of relationships in general.
For sure.
So what I find so fascinating about this book, right, is how Foley uses this rock band, a Box of Stars, to explore these really universal truths. It's like the death of the lead singer, Dante Wilder, kind of just throws everything into chaos.
It totally does. It's like all these cracks start to show in everyone's, carefully constructed facades. Like they were all putting on this act, and boom, suddenly it all falls apart.
Exactly. And it's so clever how the story's told, like through the eyes of the women who were closest to the band. Their wives, their girlfriends,
Right.
each of them has their own unique perspective on Dante. And of course, they all have their own secrets. It's like we're only getting these little glimpses into this like really complicated and kind of dangerous guy.
Oh, he is. Take Karina, for example, Dante's girlfriend. I mean, she confesses to his murder online, which is just wow. What a way to start the book.
Right. Talk about a hook.
Yeah, but then we start seeing all these flashbacks, and it's like, is her story really adding up?
Totally. It's like she's trying to convince herself, maybe even more than us, the readers, that she actually did it.
Right.
But then, as we start to meet the other women in Dante's life, like Nicole, the bassist's wife, and Lala, who's married to the guitarist, it's like, whoa, things get really messy.
Oh, yeah. Super messy. And that's where Foley's brilliance with using multiple narrators really comes in. You're constantly second guessing everyone. Like, are they being straight with us? Are they hiding something? Are they protecting someone? It keeps you on the edge of your seat, that's for sure.
For sure. And then there's Brandy, Dante's ex. She's like this, force of nature, totally unpredictable. I mean, he admits to sabotaging the band's food orders. Like, how crazy is that?
So crazy.
And she just seems to know a lot about poisons, which is kind of freaky.
Right. A little unnerving, but she's also like this raw nerve, Like everyone else is trying to keep it together, but Brandy's just out there, totally unfiltered, letting all the hurt and anger out.
It's true. It's like she's this giant red flag, like warning everyone about Dante.
Exactly. And speaking of warning signs, right? As the story goes on, we learn that Dante has a history of being abusive, like not just to his bandmates, but to all the women in his life too.
Right. And that explains so much about like the whole mood of the book. Everyone is so afraid of him, like walking on eggshells all the time.
Totally afraid of setting him off.
It's like even after he's kicked out of the band for like assaulting a woman at a bar, he still has this hold over them.
Oh, absolutely. That whole incident where he, makes that crude gesture toward Lala, it just shows how volatile he was, how unpredictable.
Yeah.
And it makes their later interactions, years later, that much more tense. You're just waiting for him to explode.
It really makes you wonder, how much of what we're seeing is real and how much is an act. Are these women just putting on a brave face for the band? Or are they genuinely scared of Dante?
Right. That's what makes Foley's writing so good. She keeps you guessing about everyone. You think you've got someone figured out, and then boom, they do something that totally throws you off.
Totally. And like when the toxicology report comes back, and it turns out Dante didn't die from poisoning after all.
Oh man, that's a game changer.
Right? Everyone thought he'd been poisoned, but he actually overdosed on fentanyl.
Yeah. Like you think it's going to be this big murder mystery, and then Foley's like, nope, accidental overdose. But of course, it can't be that simple, can it?
Of course not. It's way too early in the book for that. But it does raise all these new questions like, where did the fentanyl come from? Who had access to it? And get this, we find out the fentanyl was given to Dante by Trev, the drummer.
I know,
Mind
right?
blowing, right?
It's such a shock because Trez is like the quiet one. He practically worships Dante.
Right.
But then he does something like this. It's like there's this whole dark side to him we never knew about.
It's like he was so brainwashed by Dante, so under his control, that he just lost sight of right and wrong.
Yeah. Foley does a really good job of showing how manipulation works. You know, you don't need to spell it out. You just see it in Trez's actions, his blind loyalty, his willingness to do whatever Dante wants, no matter how messed up it is.
Totally. But even with Trev getting arrested, there are still so many loose ends. Like, Brandy was pregnant with Dante's child, and she clearly hated him.
Oh, she did.
Plus, the whole poison thing. She knows her stuff.
Right. Brandy is a total wild card and she keeps you guessing the whole time. Is she just a grieving mother who wants revenge, or is there something else going on? Foley definitely leaves us with this feeling that Brandy might be more involved in Dante's death than we think.
Oh, for sure. It's like she's this ticking time bomb, just waiting to go off. And then there's this whole other thing with the manosphere that Lala stumbles across.
Oh, yeah.
Super creepy.
Right. She finds this poem online that's basically all about Dante's views on women, and it's really disturbing, like a glimpse into this dark world of online misogyny.
It's seriously creepy. And it makes you wonder if Dante was part of these online communities. And if so, how much did they influence his behavior in real life?
It's a really good question, and it adds this whole other layer to Dante's character and his motives. Like, was he always this messed up, or did he get sucked into this online world that warped his view of women?
Right. And then you've got the band trying to like deal with the fallout from Dante's death while also planning for the future. It's a lot to handle.
It is. Curl, the guitarist, is suddenly thrust into the role of lead singer. She has to live up to Dante's legacy, but she's also dealing with all the trauma of his death. It's got to be overwhelming.
And she's got her own secrets to deal with too, right? Like that prescription bottle that Maggie, her wife, found.
Oh, yeah. That belonged to Jake, the bassist, and it was for oxycodone. Turns out Jake's been struggling with an opioid addiction, and he was supplying Dante with drugs.
Wow. So many secrets in this band.
Right. It just shows how addiction can affect anyone, even people who seem to have it all. And it goes back to that theme of hidden struggles. You know, everyone in this book is dealing with something behind the scenes. Addiction, grief, fear of being exposed. It's a lot.
It's like everyone's got this carefully constructed public image, but underneath, they're all falling apart.
Exactly. It reminds us that we never really know what's going on in other people's lives, even the people we think we know best. And then, just when you think things can't get any crazier, the band gets booked on this music festival cruise. Rage on the Wave. Sounds fun, right?
Oh, yeah, that'll solve all their problems for sure.
Right. It's supposed to be this fresh start, a chance to reconnect with their fans and move on. But of course, it doesn't quite go as planned.
Of course not. This is to our wives, after all. And Lala gets Dante's full toxicology report while they're on the cruise, so I'm guessing that's where things really start to unravel.
Oh, yeah, that report changes everything. But we'll have to save that bombshell for after a quick break.
Hold on, don't leave us hanging.
All right, all right. Let's just say this toxicology report throws a major wrench in everything we thought we knew about Dante's death. So, that toxicology report, the one Lala got on the cruise, well, it turns out Dante had crazy high levels of nicotine in his blood, like way more than a normal smoker.
Really, that's weird. Dante didn't smoke, right?
Nope, not at all. And that's when Lala starts thinking back, remembering those empty vape cartridges Brandy found in Trez's closet.
Oh, right. You don't think Trev was like secretly giving Dante nicotine, do you? But why?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And this is where things get even wilder. While they're on the cruise, Brandy spills the beans. She tells everyone that she and Dante had this crazy plan to fake his poisoning.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like as a publicity stunt.
Seriously.
It was supposed to be for this documentary Carino's making about the band. They were going to use Deadly Nightshade, you know, like Carina mentioned in her confession, just enough to make Dante sick, but not actually kill him. The whole thing would be filmed, of course, for the documentary, you know, add some drama to their comeback story.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That's insane. But obviously, something went terribly wrong because Dante actually died. Do you think Trev found out about the plan and, like, messed with it somehow?
It's definitely possible. Remember how devoted Trev was to Dante? He might have felt betrayed, you know, like Dante was going behind his back. Maybe he decided to take matters into his own hands.
This is getting crazy. It's like a real-life murder mystery. So, what happens on the cruise? Do they confront Trev?
Well, things escalate pretty quickly. Brandy's at the show watching the band perform when someone sends her a drink. And guess what?
Oh no, it's poisoned, isn't it?
You got it. But Brandy, she's smart, right? She knows a lot about this stuff. She takes one sip and she knows instantly that there's fentanyl in it.
Oh my God, who would try to poison Brandy on the cruise? Was it Trev?
That's what they're trying to figure out, but they can't exactly go to the authorities, can they? Not without risking Jake's secret getting out, you know, about his addiction. It could ruin the whole band. So Lala, Maggie, Nicole, and Brandy decide to take matters into their own hands.
I love it. An all-female detective squad.
Right. They're like, we've got this. And Brandy remembers something the waiter said when he brought her the drink. He mentioned a big tip from a guy with blue hair.
Blue hair. Was that Trev?
Actually, no. Turns out it was a crew member, Connor. He was angry at the band, especially Dante, because Dante had been really rude to him before.
Wow, Dante's a real charmer, isn't he? But Connor only spiked Brandy's drink with alcohol, right? Not fentanyl.
Exactly. So that means someone switched the drinks, and at this point, all signs are pointing to Trev.
Okay, so we've got a motive. Trev's loyalty to Dante, his anger towards Brandy's. But do they have any proof?
They need evidence, right? So they decide to confront Trev in the crew bar. Lala distracts him while Nicole searches his bag. And guess what she finds? A bottle of whiskey laced with fentanyl.
He busted. They finally got him.
Yep, red-handed, the confrontation is intense. Trev breaks down and admits that he put the fentanyl in the whiskey, that he was going to give it to Brandy as revenge for, you know, the way she treated Dante. And he drops another bombshell. He says he saw Dante accidentally overdose on fentanyl and switch the bottles to make it look like suicide.
No way. So Trev was trying to frame Dante for his own death.
It seems that way. He thought no one would believe it was an accident, so he wanted to protect Dante's image, his legacy.
This is getting darker by the minute. So what happens to Trev?
Security arrives and arrests him for Dante's murder and the attempted poisoning of Brandy. And with this new information, Karina is released from jail.
Finally, she deserves a break after all that. But wait, doesn't that mean Brandy got away with murder?
Well, that's the twist. The book ends with Karina meeting up with Brandy, and Brandy confesses that she poisoned Dante.
What?
Yeah, she used nitazones. It's a chemical used to test for amniotic fluid.
How did she even get that?
She put it in Dante's whiskey, knowing that the medical examiner wouldn't be looking for that specific substance. She was betting on them, assuming it was just a regular overdose.
Wow. So, in a way, Trev's confession actually helped cover up Brandy's crime. That's insane.
It is, right? Brandy explains that she was desperate. She had this rare thyroid condition that can cause psychosis during pregnancy, and she was convinced Dante was going to take her baby away.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. Talk about a shocking ending. Tour Wives is just full of twists and turns. It really makes you think about fame and addiction and just how toxic relationships can be. But, like, what's the takeaway here?
I think Foley is really trying to get us to think about truth, you know, and how easily stories can be manipulated, how everyone has their own version of reality. It makes you wonder how well you can ever really know someone.
It's like you see these perfect lives on social media, but you never really know what's going on behind closed doors, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's all so curated. And Tour Wives really drives that point home. You know, it's like a warning, don't believe everything you see. There's always more to the story.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so relatable. We've all known people who, you know, they put on this front, this perfect image, but underneath.
There's a whole other story going on.
Right, and sometimes it's not pretty.
No, not at all. And Tour Wives takes that idea and like blows it up. You know, it shows just how destructive those hidden truths can be. But it also shows how strong people can be, especially women. Like they face these incredible challenges and they still find a way to come out on top.
It's true. I mean, think about what these women go through. Betrayal, grief, fear, and they're constantly in the spotlight. You know, every move they make is scrutinized. And yet, they still manage to support each other and find the truth, even when it works.
It's pretty amazing. It's like no matter what life throws at them, they have each other's backs. And that's powerful.
It really is. And I think that's something we can all learn from. You know, the importance of having those strong connections, those people you can trust no matter what.
Totally. And if you're looking for a book that will like keep you up all night, Tour Wives is a total page turner, but it also makes you think about relationships, about truth, about the masks we all wear.
For sure. And for those of you who have already read it, I'd love to hear what you thought. What surprised you the most? Who did you suspect? Let us know in the comments.
Yes, we love getting your theories.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of Tour Wives. We hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss any of our future episodes. We'll be back soon with more deep dives into fascinating topics and hidden truths. Until then, keep questioning everything.